Okay, it's great to be here. I really thank you very, very much for the invitation, and Pastor, for you and your church, I want you to know that you have ministered to my heart by allowing me to be here today, and I really appreciate that very, very much. I want you to take your Bibles, please. I do have a direction to go, and I want you to turn to 1 Samuel chapter 21. 1 Samuel chapter 21. There's a thought there that the Lord showed me not long ago, and I want to share that with you. If I can get to it here, 1 Samuel chapter 21. And I've got a little object lesson here. Again, using the eye gate and the ear gate, but when I was at the guest house, got there last night, I opened the refrigerator and I found orange juice in the refrigerator. And I really like orange juice. I drank 4 out of 6 this morning. So there's minus 4 of the 6 that were in the refrigerator. But I drink orange juice every morning. And at Walmart, we have a super, whatever it is, Walmart, 2 miles from our house, so I can zip right up there. And they have a brand of orange juice in a quart container, and I've been buying that. Every Sunday I have a bus route. I work the bus route with my wife, and the young man that rides with me in our van, as we work the van with the bus and pick up kids, take them to the bus, always have a quart of orange juice. And when I go to Walmart, I know that when they stock the shelves, they put the newest stuff in the back, okay? And so if you look at those dates, you'll notice that the furthest back is the freshest orange juice. Okay, and I like the fresh stuff. So I look at that date and then I go all the way back and I pull out however many I want because I really like fresh orange juice. And I say that to say this: we as the people of God need something fresh from God. Every day we need God to speak to us in a fresh, new way. We need to hear from God. And it's very, very important. God laid something on my heart not very long ago. He actually showed me this, and I want to bring it to you today. And I really need the Lord. We've already prayed, but I'm going to ask you, if you would please, to bow with me, and I'll pray again. And again, this is not about me. This is about Jesus and God. And it's my desire that I would be a blessing. It's my desire that He would use me. It's my desire that He would speak to your heart. And I want to pray and ask God to that end. Father, thank you so very much for the blessing of being able to be here and to speak. And thank you for the opportunity. Thank you for Pastor Cole, thank you for his years of faithfulness here, for his people, for this church. And thank you for your word. Thank you for the truth of the word of God that we have the opportunity to proclaim today. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. And I pray, Lord, that you would allow me to be a blessing today. I pray that you would use me. I pray that you would speak to our hearts and challenge us. And thank you for what you'll do. And Lord, we'll give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory. In your name we ask it. Amen. 1 Samuel chapter 21, I'm going to read a portion of this scripture here. And again, this is where David comes to Abimelech the priest. And Abimelech actually gives him, verse 6, so the priest gave him hallowed bread, for there was no bread there, but the show bread that was taken from before the Lord to put hot bread in the day when it was taken away. So he actually gave him a portion of that which was considered to be very, very holy. David was on the run from Saul, who was out to kill him. Verse 7, now a certain man of the servants of Saul was there that day, detained before the Lord, and his name was Doeg, an Edomite, the chiefest of the herdmen that belonged to Saul. And David said unto Ahimelech, And is there not here under thine hand spear or sword? For I have neither brought my sword nor my weapons with me, because the king's business required haste. And the priest said, The sword of Goliath, the Philistine whom thou slewest in the valley of Elah, behold, it is here wrapped in a cloth behind the ephod. If thou wilt take that, take it, for there is no other save that here. And David said, There is none like that. Give it me. Now understand what he was saying here. He was saying in regards to the sword of Goliath that there was none like it, that it was only one, it was the only one of its kind. You could not find another one like it in all of the world. Now, again, just by way of a little object lesson here to help with the eye gate, my son is a history major at Pensacola Christian School, and he's doing really well. He's graduating this year. This is his fourth year, and I am so excited because I really believe, preacher, he has a gift of teaching, and he's going to use it for God. And I am so excited for what he is doing. And he is beginning to collect some things in the area of history, so I sort of borrowed these from him. But I have a sword here, and this is a nice sword. I think it would get the job done. I'm not sure what year or society this sword would be from, but here is one, and obviously this is from a particular culture of people that would use a sword such as this. But I also have another sword, and again, a different culture, and a little bit bigger. And now this one, when you think about the sword, when you think about Goliath's sword, I mean, that guy had a sword. We know how big he was, 9.5 feet tall, and he had a sword, and this is a sword. Now, for a guy, I have a very small wrist, okay? You have got to have some kind of a wrist to swing this thing. Matter of fact, I don't believe I could swing this with any amount of power with one hand. If I had two hands and put it on there, I can probably swing it pretty good. But one hand is not big enough. And understand what David was saying here. In this passage of Scripture, the priest said to David that there was no other sword like the sword that Goliath had and that he had from when David killed him. And David made a choice there. And the choice was, hey, I want that sword. And that's exactly what he said. He said, give it me. So he had a choice to make. And that choice was that that sword that belonged to Goliath, the sword that there was none like it anywhere, he made a choice to take that sword. And I want to apply that to the Bible, to the Word of God, that we have the blessed privilege and opportunity to read and to study on a daily basis. And may I say to you, there is no other book in all the world as is the Bible, because the Bible is the Word of God. The Bible is the book that was given to us from God. And there is no other book like this book in all the world. There's not another book like this book in all the world. And when you and I get saved, I got saved when I was 22 years old. I grew up unsaved. I did not go to church. I remember being in a Baptist church a time or two. but not anything on a regular basis. And when I got into the service and ended up in Vietnam, my dad was dying of cancer when I graduated from high school. He had 1 year to live at age 62. And he said to me, he said, "This is what I want you to do." He said, "This is my dying wish." He said, "I want you to join the Navy because I don't want you to go to Vietnam." And my brother had already joined the Navy, and he was floating around on a boat out there somewhere. And my dad's thinking was that if I joined the Navy, I'd be floating around a boat out there, and I wouldn't go to Vietnam. Because when I graduated from high school, the Vietnam buildup was right at its peak. They were taking anybody and everybody and shipping them to Vietnam. And I said, "Dad, if that's what you want, that's what I'll do." And I joined the Navy. And my dad died while I was there. But I was in Vietnam. I had gone in country, River Patrol Forces, Mekong Delta, and they flew me out of there when my dad died. 24-hour flight just to get home, and I was in battle fatigues, didn't have time to change clothes, came through the airports, and I saw people look at me like I was dirt. And I will never, ever forget that. And we must never let them dishonor our military. But salvation is just the beginning. When I came back from Vietnam, I was an absolute mess. And war will do that to you. And I was a mess. And I got out in July, and in September of 1970, I heard the gospel for the first time in my life, that I understood by the convicting work of the person of the Holy Spirit that I needed Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, that I had never trusted Christ as my Savior, that I was lost, and that's what I needed. And I made a choice that day. I said, "That's what I want." And a week later, I wrestled with it for 1 week. And a week later, I accepted Christ as my personal Savior. And He changed my life. But I want to say this to you. That is only the beginning for the life of a Christian. It doesn't mean that life is going to be a bed of roses. It doesn't mean that everything is just going to be fine and that you're not going to have problems, you're not going to have heartaches, you're not going to have hardships, you're not going to have difficulties. And salvation is the starting point where we have the wonderful opportunity of spending a relationship on a daily basis with the person of the Lord Jesus through the reading and the studying of His Word on a daily basis. We will live the life of Christ when we maintain in our lives a right relationship with Christ. And we cannot have a relationship with Christ apart from the reading and the studying of the Word of God. It's good that people read the Bible, but may I say to you, you ought to go a step further. You ought to read and study the Word of God. And we have a tremendous opportunity as Christians to do that very, very thing. And if we have a right relationship with God, we will become like Christ, and we will show His life outwardly. It will result in our becoming changed from the inside. And that's what we need. And that's how it works. God takes the Word of God and He changes us from the inside. When we think about our relationship with Christ, there's a couple of things that are important. Number one, the Christian life is not a system of rules. Number two, any valuable relationship has guidelines for conduct. I'm a married man, and because I'm a married man, I have guidelines for where I go and what I do and who I'm with. And any relationship that you have has guidelines of conduct. If it's a husband-wife relationship, if it's a parent-children relationship, it could be a pastor-church relationship, it could be a teacher-student relationship. No matter what that relationship is, there has to be guidelines for that relationship. Now, when we focus on our relationship with the Lord Jesus, it brings to mind I'm getting way ahead of myself. Let me back up. How can you and I truly live the life of Christ without the interference of the flesh? I don't know about you, but I'm not a super spiritual giant. I battle Satan every day. I battle the flesh every day. And it is a struggle at times to maintain a right relationship with God through the reading and the studying of the Word of God. And let me say this to you. You would be the exception if there are more people in here today than not that are maintaining a right relationship with God through the reading and the studying of His Word on a daily basis. I'm saying if more of you that are in here are doing that than not, faithfully and on a regular basis, you will be the exception in this church today. This church would be an exception. Just a couple of thoughts, and I'll keep going until I got to stop. The life of Christ is a relationship to enjoy. This relationship is the most important aspect of the Christian life. We have got to make it our number one priority in our life. It has to be number one. And again, if we have a relationship with Christ through the reading and the studying of His Word, He will live out His life in us. And that is what makes the Christian life wonderful. The Lord Jesus living His life in us. It's a very serious problem when we as Christians go through life not having a relationship with Christ through the reading and the studying of His Word on a daily basis. And what happens is we have a form and not a relationship. And we become very, very dead and very ineffective in our accomplishing what God wants for us in this life. And what He wants to do is He wants to use us to reach other people for Himself. So we either have a positive impact in our lives in reaching people for Christ, or we have a negative impact in our lives in reaching people for Christ. And the bottom line is that relationship with Christ in the daily reading and the study of the Word of God. I love Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. Look at that verse with me, please. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. This is a familiar verse to many of you, but Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, wonderful verse. Paul is speaking here, and he says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. And look at this. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. And Paul was saying that the life that he was living was not his own. It was Christ living his life out through him. And that's exactly what he wants to do in the life of every believer in this day and age in which we live. He wants to do the very same thing. He wants to live his life through your life. And as a result of that, impact people all around you in a positive way in reaching them for the Lord Jesus. This is what a healthy relationship with the Lord Jesus will produce. It will produce Christ living His life through you. And you and I have the same responsibility. And that responsibility is to maintain a right relationship with Christ in our daily walk through the reading and the studying of the Word of God on a daily basis. Let me ask you a question. Is our country going in a good direction today, or is it going in a not-so-good direction today? What does that tell you about the church? I think we are reaping what we're sowing. And I think we need to allow God to speak to our hearts about this area of our life. You remember when David came to Ahimelech and he was asking about a sword and he said, I have one. He said, it's Goliath, there's none like it. But David made a choice. David said, I want it. And he took it. You have to make a decision today. If God touches your heart that your relationship with Christ isn't what it ought to be because you're cold in your Bible reading and study, then you need to make a choice today as to whether or not you're going to do what God wants you to do and change that. And I believe with all my heart there's people in this church that need to make that decision. I believe that with all my heart. You need to make a decision, just like David made a decision when he said, I want that sword. Give it me. Are you willing to obey the Lord and say, Lord, would you forgive me and would you help me in this area of my life, in my relationship with you, in your word, in reading and studying the word of God? We have the form. We come to church 3 times a week. We come to church Sunday morning. We sit in Sunday school. And we sit in church Sunday night. We hear the preacher preach. We say amen. We come to church in a midweek service. We're involved in our bus routes. But that's not where it's at. That's good, but that's only part of it. And by the way, if you do not have a right relationship with God through the reading and the studying of His Word on a daily basis, you are a prime candidate for Satan to knock out of the race down the road. And anybody that walks out those doors of that church that have been here for any period of time, never to come back again, never had a right relationship with God through the reading and the study of the Word of God on a daily basis. He wants to live His life in us. He wants us to be His representatives by His living His life in us. I'm not going to turn to this passage, but in 1 John chapter 5, 1 John, it talks about His anointing our lives. And that anointing can only come through a relationship that we have with Him on a daily basis and taking the time to get alone with God and reading and studying the Word of God and spending time with Him in prayer. I enjoyed coming here last night. I thought it was a longer trip. I don't know why. My hearing is not so good, and I might have misheard what you said, how long the trip was. I thought it was much longer, and I thought, wow, I'm here already. And I was frustrated because the phone was ringing off a wall yesterday. It's Veterans Day, and I was trying to get out of the house. I wanted to leave by 2 o'clock. And I figured I'd be here by 7. And it was it was half the time, so I didn't have any problem. The phone was ringing off the wall. We were getting some orders for Proven and Bramble, and of course that happens over Veterans Day a lot. And then we built a dog kennel here a while back. My wife runs a dog kennel, and we have 5 dogs of our own. We really enjoy them. But, boy, the phone was just ringing off the wall. I couldn't get going. And I got up here, the thing I want to do is get up here in a decent time, relax and rest a little, and spend some time with the Lord and just enjoy that relationship with Him. And what a blessing it was. I got here, I think it was 5:30 last night, and I had that time. I enjoyed it. I enjoy being alone. Okay, I enjoy my wife, but I enjoy being alone with God. I enjoy that. And if I'm going to have a right relationship with my wife, I need to have that right relationship with God through the reading and the study of His wonderful Word. If you have little relationship with the Lord in this area of your life, it's going to be a little anointing of God. If you have no relationship, and some of you probably do not, sad to say, how much have you read and studied the Word of God this week on a daily basis? So there's no question, some of you don't do that. No relationship, no anointing, form, You're here on Sunday morning. You're here in Sunday school. You're here on Sunday night. You're here in the midweek service. But it's form. It's form. And there's no becoming like the Lord Jesus. There's no showing in our lives the Lord Jesus. There's no fruit. When Jesus said in John chapter 15, abide in me, that word abide means to remain with Christ. It means to spend time communing with Christ and meditating on the Word of God. It means to come alongside of, to cling to draw strength from, to settle down with, alone, you and Christ and His Word. We in America are not very good at this thing of abiding. And the reason for that is because we are so busy. By the way, we think we're spiritual because we're busy. No, we're not. You're not spiritual because you go to church three times a week, because you serve on a bus route on Saturday. That's not spirituality. Spirituality is a relationship with Christ in the reading and the studying of the Word of God. By the way, I'm going somewhere. Pastor asked me to speak in Sunday school, and I just want to lay a foundation for what I'm going to say in the morning service. And this is the foundation for what I'm going to talk about in the morning service. And I'm going to tell you Jonathan's story. That's what I'm here for. But the foundation of what has happened in the lives of the Kephart family is what I'm talking about here today, a relationship with God. Again, in the midst of our busyness, our relationship with God is absolutely lost. Remaining with Him, fellowshipping with Him, communing with Him through everyday Bible study and prayer. And as a result, His producing from the inside out, Christ-likeness in our life. That's what we need. That's what we need. And if we do not have that relationship, we will not have that Christ-likeness. We will instead engage in our own selfish pleasures, quenching the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, and we'll have zero fruit for God. That's not what God wants for us. God wants you to bear fruit. Different amounts of fruit for different lives, but God wants all of us to bear fruit. Isn't it amazing what we as the people of God can justify in our minds as being right? Preacher, I know you've seen and heard in all the years of your ministries, things that just, if I could use this phrase, blow your mind. That God's people can justify things that they do in their lives. And it's absolutely contrary to what God wants for them. That's where we come when we lack a right relationship with God. And it happens because we become so busy that we cannot squeeze God into our day. The busier we are, the more we need time alone with God. Only God can give the strength and the wisdom needed to face the everyday crises that come into our lives. I got to look at this clock. I'm looking. Is that a 1 or a 7? It's a 2, so I'm okay. I still got about 8 minutes. Doing good here. You know, you don't know what's going to come into your life tomorrow. You don't know when the phone's going to ring. And you're going to get some very, very, very bad news. You don't know. Only God can give the strength and the wisdom needed to face the everyday crises that come into our lives. I'm going to repeat one thing in the morning service that I'm going to say now, but I'm going to close with this. Thursday night April the 8th of 2004, I went home from church. My wife and children were at church. They were staying a little longer. I went home. When I went home, walked in the door, our habit was always to look at the telephone to see if the light was blinking, to see if we heard anything from Jonathan. And when I walked in the door, I looked to the left in the corner, the light was blinking, and I thought, Jonathan. I picked up the phone, and it was not Jonathan on the message. It was the Department of the Army. And they were calling to notify us that Jonathan had been very seriously wounded and that he was being transported to a hospital and that the Army wanted to make arrangements to fly us to be with him as soon as was absolutely possible. I said to the sergeant on the other line, I said, my family is over at church. I'm going to run over and get them. I'll come right back. Give me a number and I'll call you back. So they said, fine, please call us right back. I ran over to the church, got my wife, got my other children, got together with the pastor. We had prayer, asked God to spare Jonathan's life. Went back home, called her back. And she said, I have a direct line to the Baghdad hospital. I'm going to put you on hold. I'm going to find out where they are transporting him. They are either transporting him to Germany or to Walter Reed, and we will make arrangements to fly you there. I said, fine. She put me on hold. Just a few minutes, she came back. She was crying. I knew immediately why she was crying. I told her I was a Vietnam War veteran. I said, you can tell me. She could not tell me. She was not authorized to do so. She simply said that Jonathan, but she simply said that, Mr. Kephart, there will be no need to fly anywhere. The Department of the Army will be in touch with you very, very soon. And she hung up, and I was left there with the phone in my hand. And I knew that Jonathan was in heaven. And I also knew that everything was okay. I believed it with all my heart. I believed it with all my soul. And I'll go on into more of the story. You don't know what's going to happen from one day to the next. You don't know what you're going to face. Either in the rest of this day or tomorrow, you don't know what's going to come into your life. And it's important. It's important. It's so important to have a right relationship with God, with His Word. When you think of a relationship with God, there are two things that come to my mind. Who can tell me what they are? When you think about having a relationship with God, what are two things that come to my mind? Okay? Pardon me? Okay? I'm not saying this exactly right. I've got to close, but here's what I'm trying to get at. Where and when do you meet with Him? That's your guideline for your relationship with Christ. His Word, where do you take time to sit down and open His Word and read and study and meditate on the Word of God with Him? Where and when do you do that? Now allow God to speak to your heart. I struggle with this every day. I fight with being faithful every day. I'm a layman in the church. Satan has been after me for years. If he can get us in this area of our lives, it won't be very long and we'll become a casualty in the race for God. Let's close in prayer. Father, I pray that you'd speak to hearts today. I pray that everyone in here that's heard me speak, I pray that they'd look at this area of their lives. And Lord, if it isn't exactly what it ought to be, if it isn't at all, I pray that the Holy Spirit would speak to hearts, and I pray that folks would say, Lord, I need this. I want this. And be willing to make the changes in their lives that are necessary to have this wonderful relationship with you. I pray that you'll have your way, and thank you for what you'll do. I pray that you'll bless in a wonderful way the morning service. In Jesus' name, amen.